Good morning and good afternoon. Good evening. When you come here when it's dark and you leave when it's dark, it's kind of hard to tell. But members, before we continue with Cinephiles on General File, we have really a special treat this afternoon. And so part of serving in the legislature, you get to meet some incredible people and people from around the state and we've done a lot of neat things, and today is one of those days. And so Amy and Annie Smith are here to perform a song. It's called Wyoming, Where I Belong, and they are fifth-generation Wyoming natives. Cheyenne, they've lived in Casper, too, and we talked about some people we know in common, and they've headlined USO tours around the world. And shared the stage with Bob Hope and performed for several U.S. presidents. So Wyoming, Where I Belong, has received an International Music Award for its contribution to American culture and Western heritage. So at this time, please help me welcome Amy and Annie Smith to the Wyoming House of Representatives.
Wonderful moment. And so for me, it's a treat for us to be here when we are here.
I was just thinking, I saw my picture, my
sure it says okay.
Actually, I think we have time for an encore or two. We're only doing Cinephiles. If you have an encore, and then maybe we can finish with the national anthem. That'd be great. Sounds good.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous all the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets reckless, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say
thank you for performing for us today, and really great to have you back home here in Cheyenne. And
yeah,
well, we really appreciate you spending your time with us and sharing your beautiful song with us. So, thank you, thank you. Members, I think we're just going to recess for about 5-10 minutes while we, while Amy and Annie work on their equipment, and feel free to move around, visit, and we'll come back at the sound of the gavel. Okay, members, the house will come to order. One more time to the Smith sisters, and thank you for the CDs. And I just wanted to tell the body and that they're in the process of basically giving this song to the state and any future royalties that will go with it. So we really appreciate everything you're doing for Wyoming. Thank you and safe travels.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 9, introduced by Revenue. Certification of cases to State Board of Equalization, an act relating to the State Board of Equalization. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 9, Certification of Cases to State Board of Equalization, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermuller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 9 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments, and I will turn the explanation over to the representative from District 32 to briefly explain it to you.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess we all came here to solve problems, and this is the problem that needs to be fixed. Although the State Board of Equalization's rules provide for direct certification of county tax appeals to the State Board for adjudication, the statutory authority for such is questionable. The State Board would like to avoid possibility of party challenging the outcome of a certified appeal by arguing that the State Board lacked the authority to hear a certified appeal. Therefore, we have the answer to that problem in Senate File Number 9. And I'll read the relevant section on page 2, line 6. Upon request of a County Board of Equalization, the State Board of Equalization may accept a case certified directly to the State Board of Equalization pursuant to rules adopted by the State Board of Equalization. And then, on page 3, line 7, the County Board of Equalization may request that a case be certified directly to the State Board of Equalization as provided in WS 3911-102.1C. And we have a committee amendment to the bill on page 2. Just after the word equalization on page 2, line 6, we have inserted providing compelling reason to do so. And this for the reason that the issue needs to have some, must be more than just a frivolous referral to the State Board because of inconsequential reasons. So for that reason, I would move the committee-approved amendment to the House for their approval. If there are any questions, if there are none, then I would move that we approve this measure.
Question having been called on the standing committee amendment, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment has passed. We're back on the bill.
If there are no questions on this bill, I would move that it be approved by the body.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 9 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 9 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 10. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 10, introduced by Revenue, County Boards of Equalization, an act relating to County Boards of Equalization. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 10, engrossed County Boards of Equalization, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermuller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill Senate File number 10 do pass. And I will explain the bill.
Go right ahead, Chairman Madden.
Okay.
Oh, let's take the Committee of the Whole. Okay. Go right ahead.
All right. First off, I do have a Committee of the Whole amendment that we didn't have together prior to the adjournment of the committee meeting, and I'll talk about that when it comes up in the bill. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, this is a bill to take out antiquated language and to match up procedures when it comes to setting tax rolls and assessment responsibilities based on changes that we had in 1988 to the Constitution, where we had the we specified in the Constitution classes of property. And prior to that, I should say subsequent to that, we had added a lot of statutes that was conforming to what this amendment did in 1988. But the thing that our predecessors forgot to do is to take out the old language that wasn't applicable anymore. So just kind of walking through it with regard to page 2 on line 18, the real thing that the County Board of Equalization does is approve corrected assessments or any valuation change contained in the assessment roll. And the assessment roll is not done by the County Board of Equalization, but it's done by the county assessor. Going down to item on line number 9, you have F. This refers to in those rare cases when the state board has a need to issue an equalization order. This comes about when, you know, things go awry in a given county and they're not equalized throughout the other counties in relation to that one. And it never used to be so important to do that, but now we do have property equalized across the entire state. So I will move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 at this time, and that begins or is relevant in the sentence beginning on line 12, where any person wishing to review an assessment of his property may contact the county assessor. This is the shall in there was not appropriate. You don't have to go contact the county assessor if you don't want to, but you have a right to. And this follows that assessment order that I was talking about. The rest of it is pretty much repealer language, and I call your attention to section 2, where we repeal some antiquated language. For example, 3913.102A, it says, each county board of county commissioners during its first meeting in January may annually divide the county into assessment districts And if the county is so divided, the county assessor shall appoint one deputy assessor for each district to serve at the pleasure of the county treasurer. This goes back so long ago, it was probably when the assessor's primary job was to assess personal property, and the assessment of personal property was probably done on horseback, counting cows and sheep and things like that. And we don't have deputy assessors in sub-districts. They used to do that because transportation was an issue in a county. And this the other one the next one, B, 3913-102B says the county commissioner shall furnish suitable assessment roles. They don't do that. The county assessor does. And then finally, we get down to C, Romanet I, add to the assessment role and value any taxable property within the county not included within the assessment role. They don't do that, and they haven't done it since 1988. And equalize the assessment and valuation of the taxable property. They don't do that either. So that's all it is. It's just a cleanup legislation, and it's one of the four bills that came from the board that is in charge of this equalization process we have. So if there's any questions, otherwise I'll call for the question.
Call for the question on the committee of the whole amendment. Okay, the question having been called, all those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate file number 10, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Committee of the whole amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Are there any questions? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file 10 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate file 10 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration will be handled by, thank you, Representative Summers.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 11, introduced by Revenue, License Revocation Process, an act relating to license revocations. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 11, License Revocation Process, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman.
What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 11 do pass.
Please continue.
I'm going to have the fine gentleman from District 29 explain this bill, except for the fact that I want to move committee of the whole amendment number 1, and I'll explain that to you so he can proceed under those bases, because we had some incorrect language in the bill. So let me explain that to you. On page 2, you go down to, let me just explain why it was necessary. We have language in here that suggests that the Board of Equalization can suspend or revoke a license. That authority rests with the division. And you see the word division in here. It's the liquor division within the Department of Revenue. So going down to line 20, you cross out except as otherwise provided in this section, and you put in unless the division orders otherwise, a licensee may continue to operate under the license or permit pending appeal of a license suspension or revocation. And then it goes on to say on page 3 that's the way it is. When you get to line number 8, instead of the state board ordering an immediate suspension, it says the state board may affirm an order of immediate suspension of the license. So that's all it is, and I'd urge your support of that whole Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Are there any questions on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one? Do I hear a question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number one on Senate File 10, please say aye. Opposed? Senate, Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to Senate File 10 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, with Senate File 11, same topic, but really I'm calling this a two-for-one, if you will, because both parts of this deal with license revocation. And so the first problem that we're trying to address here, and this was a reminder, again, interim committee work, and dealing with the group that deals with equalization and working with them and trying to solve perhaps a due process issue, where the director of the department that presides over the division that sells liquor is also acting in an administrative situation, but also has the ability to revoke a license. And so that being the case, to administer and then also do the revocation and then also make a final decision on that, we wanted to kind of clean that up a little bit. And so what we've done now in the bill, it calls for the department can still talk about the revocation, but put in place an appeal process to the state board. And so that takes care of that due process situation, certainly in the liquor area. Now, the second problem we tried to address on this was also in the revocation area, but dealt with the vendor's license, sales tax license revocation. And so the same situation also occurred at that point in time, that the director would pursue the revocation, but also would then sit as the judge on an appeal situation. And so in order to correct that situation too, the bill calls for an appeal to the statewide board of equalization, and again it reduces the department's dual role there, and then also takes down the administrative burden of the department. And then also in visiting with the board that would hear this, they indicate that they do have the time and that they're either of these situations don't occur very often, and that they would have the ability to take on both situations and handle it. So I think really a good catch and something that we feel is proper to put in place. Be happy to answer any questions, and if there are no questions, I'd call for the question.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it seems like this is quite a change, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around it, so I appreciate the explanation. I think that's helped a little bit. On page 2, just trying to get through the meat of this thing, page 2, so the division may revoke any license or permit issued under this title for violation of any rules, and then it talks about the stricken language, revocation proceedings initiated by the division shall be conducted as a contested case under the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. Okay, so what we do there is we strike that language and we say that the divisions can revoke a licensee, but now what we're going to do is we're going to send two notices. They're going to be at least, a week apart, and then a final notice 30 days later, and at that time I'm assuming then your license is revoked. No hearing, no nothing. It's revoked, and then if you want to appeal the decision, then you can do that within 30 days. Goes to the State Board of Equalization, I'm thinking, and then it's handled under the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. And so it's quite the quite the change, and I'm trying to figure out what's the problem here we're trying to fix and why such the big change. If I'm wrong on any of that, please correct me. I'm just trying to understand this thing. Thank you.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. And really, what we've got here is a situation that they can start through the revocation process in the liquor situation, but that it is not revoked until after it goes to the state board. So it goes through the process, but then there's a stop, and it doesn't prevent the business from operating until it goes to the state board. So I actually like that, in fact, Representative, because to me it provides sort of a stopgap for the licensee at that point in time. So we were convinced in committee that this would be a beneficial interest to those folks.
No further questions? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 11 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 11 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 23. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 23, introduced by Revenue, Fuel Tax Appeals, an act relating to the State Board of Equalization. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 23, Fuel Tax Appeals, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermuller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman.
Chairman Madden, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 23 do pass, and I will turn the explanation over to the representative from District 29.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So continuing with our interim work, this Senate File 23 is a bill which will establish an appeal process for fuel tax disputes. So now we've gone into a different area before the Board of Equalization. And so right now, the statutes really don't specify an appellant remedy, and a taxpayer must separately appeal fuel tax disputes to the Office of Administrative Hearings and other tax disputes to the Board of Equalization. So this bill would really simplify that and would make an appeal right and designate both of those to the state board. And we feel like this is a way to really efficiently handle that. And then this gives the state board of equalization jurisdiction to hear the appeals, and so then it also authorizes them to promulgate rules for the appeals process. And then keep in mind, though, that what we still have in place here is that appeals from the board may still be brought to the district court. So if they're not satisfied with that, those appeals can still be brought to the district court. And so anyway, that's in a nutshell what we're trying to do here, and what we're trying to clean up. And we had good discussion in the committee about this, and it certainly made sense to do it this way. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if the good presenter could just help me understand who might be involved as a taxpayer or somebody that would be appealing a fuel tax assessment, is are we talking about the fuel marketers? Are we talking about perhaps an ag producer that has the ability to apply for a tax refund through that, or is it all of the above? Who is this affecting?
Representative Kinner.
Thank you for that question. Many times the appeal process would begin after maybe the Department of Audit takes a look at and does a tax audit, and then that would bring in question. It could be on diesel fuel tax, it could be alternative fuel, and anything that would come up in that situation,
Now they would have a process in place to just handle the answer in one area.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So then, I think fuel tax assessment is made at point of origin or at the refinery, and so it's the refinery that's collecting that. Are they the one that are responsible for collecting that fuel tax appropriately, or is that coming back to the fuel marketers? Because I think before they, and they have a definition for that, I can't remember what it is. I'm just trying to get my mind who it is that would be making that appeal and where that takes place.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's primarily the marketers, the jobbers that pay the tax. They pick up the product from the refinery, and by law they have to pay the tax before they deliver any of that fuel out. And, you know, the essential thing about this whole bill is that if you look like on page 16, or page 2, line 16, you know, this went on for years that under the section B or subparagraph B for appeals, it just says there are no applicable provisions for appeals for this article. So if you had a complaint as a taxpayer, there's nothing you could do about it because we didn't have anything in the law that would allow it. Now, technically, you could take it to circuit or to district court and say, look, I've got a problem here. They won't let me appeal, and I can't complain, and they would override that. But that's what the essence of this is.
Any further questions? Do I hear a question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 23 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Senate file 23 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 3. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 3, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources. Select Water Committee review of projects and act relating to the Select Water Committee. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 3, engrossed, Select Water Committee review of projects, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Clausen, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Hunt, Larson, McKim, Steinmetz. Signed, Representative McKim, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McKim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File 3, Select Water Committee Review of Projects, do pass. And I turn the explanation over to my good Vice Chairman from Agriculture.
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would move Senate File Number 3, ask for your favorable consideration. All this really is doing is clarifying exist and adding on a little bit to what the Select Water Committee already does. And so, you know, we've got the appointed Water Development Commission and then obviously us as elected officials. And so our job is, well, the appointed commission job is to oversee the department and then we in turn oversee the commission, basically. And so all this is doing is on page 2, line number 2, is adding regardless of funding source. And so basically we're just saying that this is adding to the oversight where the money's coming from and how that's being funded for development projects. So thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the way I understand this piece of legislation, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Select Committee is going to review all projects regardless of funding source. We're talking about federal money at that point. So what is the purpose of the Wyoming Water Commission if the Select Committee is going to do all their work?
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the continuing purpose of the Development Commission is to have a more hands-on approach to this. I mean, you know, they're a little more involved, I would say, and us as elected officials in the Select Committee, you know, we help that out. But it's, you know, I think that it's good to have yet another level of oversight to that. So, and we are the appropriators. So there's that.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The commission actually prioritizes the water accounts and puts them in order as what they think is the priority on them. And then the select water comes through and actually okays those priorities. So we're trying to work together with them. And they have different funding sources, whether it be federal, whether it be the revolving state water fund, or whether it be through the commission. And so all this does is say we look at each one of those and okay them according to the priorities set by the commission.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the information. And just for knowledge sake, is this traditional? Has the select committee always approved all projects, or was the Wyoming Water Commission, these appointed individuals from throughout the state by the executive, were they allowed to do projects with federal money?
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They were not allowed to do the project with federal money. They actually had to approve it and then send it through Select Water. So it actually was just part of that program. And all we're saying here is that they could look at this and say they could approve it depending on the sources and present it to the Select Water Committee.
Okay, thank you. Further questions? Oh, Representative Lindholm, continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So essentially that vetting process is already in place for these projects. Is this just micromanagement at that point then?
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I guess what I would say to that is I don't think it's micromanagement. I mean, we are the elected officials and they are appointed, and so we are the voice of our constituents and of the people of Wyoming, and at the end of the day, we are the final sign-off on the appropriations and on the funding. So I would respectfully say that I wouldn't call it micromanagement. I'd say that this is just another it's another way to ensure that the money is being spent wisely and that the projects are being dealt with in an appropriately prioritized manner. So thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I can clear this up a little bit. I think it came over, we have water compacts, and this money that was in question of whether who had priority over it came from a compact. And so it's for like salinity control, and there was money available to the upper basin states. And so when it came down to who could review these projects, we just want to make sure we were in the loop on that one, and I think it's a good idea. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a reminder, the legislatures actually appropriate the money. Select Water recommends that through the Agriculture Committee as far as what is appropriated, and Water Commission kind of makes the priority of how they'd like to see that come forward.
Any further questions? Do I hear the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 3 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Senate File 3 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 30, introduced by Judiciary, Jail Placement Coordination, an act relating two counties. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 30, engrossed, Jail Placement Coordination, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Kirkbride?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 30 do pass. Our good colleague from the Valley of the Rams in District 34 will present the bill.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is a straightforward, simple bill. This bill is allows out-of-state prisoners to be jailed within our county jails with the consent of our local sheriffs and county commissioners. It's a revenue-enhancing bill for our counties that are hurting right now, and we're simply trying to help those counties that have very high incarceration costs. This bill will help our counties at their request. It does have wide support. Our local sheriffs will be the ones determining to what extent actually they will be determining the rejecting or accepting any prisoner to their cells. Currently, the sheriffs don't have authority to incarcerate anyone who has not committed a crime in Wyoming. This gives them that authority. So, again, it's a simple bill. It has wide support. It's going to help our counties financially. And I ask for your support, and I will stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question on this, and I like the bill. I like the construction of the bill. I guess one of the questions that I have on here is so let's say a county decides to contract with the state north of us for prisoners. Is that state required then to transport the prisoner back and forth, or is that something that will be included in the contract? It talks in here that if the jail has reached capacity, that the prisoner would be transported back to the origin, to the state of origin or the place of origin. Again, does that fall on the backs of our personnel, or does that go on to the other state or place of origin? I guess I'm just trying to figure out some of those logistics with this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Pennell.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. In answer to that question, those are all issues that are taken up with the contract. And being involved with contracts that do bring other inmates to a particular jail that I'm familiar with, in that contract, if there was any court case, court appeals, or anything that would require transportation, it would come from the agency that was needing to take them to court. So it has no implication on the, depending on the contract, it would have no implication on the transport. So most of them would be, from what I've seen, would be the folks wanting to do the transport would be the ones that had the inmate to start with and wanted a place to find to go with them. Did that answer your question?
Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a good question, or just a question for the good committee on, bringing these prisoners from out of state. I assume that we're letting that state retain the liability for any medical costs associated with that prisoner, and we're not picking that up in Wyoming.
Representative Pennell.
Mr. Chairman, again, those would fall under the contract, and most of the time, if there's a medical problem or issue, in many cases, they don't allow them into your facility because of that. They don't want to have that burden. But if there is cases of medicine and stuff of that need to be required that the inmate would require, that would be involved in that contract, and the other facility would be paying that.
Question. Further questions? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Kirkbride's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 30 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate file 30 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 31. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 31, introduced by Judiciary, Genetic Information Privacy, an act relating to genetic information privacy. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 31, Genetic Information Privacy, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Kirkbride?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 31 do pass, and our good colleague from House District 1 will present the bill.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 31 came from your Digital Information Privacy Task Force. This is one of those situations where, as technology is advancing, we frequently find some situations. So this situation is the situation that you shouldn't spit in a vial and send it off to a company that you don't own, essentially. So what happens is there's these companies out there that can do they can look at your ancestry and tell you exactly by looking at your DNA, by you spitting in a vial, they can look at that and tell you exactly where you're from. They can tell you back hundreds and hundreds of years. It's pretty fascinating. But what's happening with that data once it's being collected, is the problem. It can actually be sold and is being sold in often cases. So that's the situation. Who's it being sold to? In some situations, it's being sold to insurance companies. And what do insurance companies do with your DNA? Well, they can tell what kind of cancers you're going to have. So it's kind of a horrible situation. So this bill cleans it up. We're like the 30th state or something like that that's actually addressed this situation. And indeed, this piece of legislation is actually built off of the state to the far, far northwest that's not contiguous. So going through the legislation, you can see on page 1, we create 3531101 through 104. Turn it over to page 2. Definitions on authorized representative, that's somebody that can actually look at your DNA. We define DNA as something I can't define, I can't say because I don't know how to pronounce it. Genetic analysis, genetic characteristics, genetic information. And then we go into informed consent. Informed consent is the pretty important definition there because it's used throughout the legislation, and this specifically has to do with how your DNA is handled. And you giving informed consent. And there are specific three angles towards that informed consent: any genetic analysis, how genetic information will be retained or disclosed, and individuals' rights under 3531103, and we'll get there. So 3531102, when it's allowed and when it's disallowed is basically what we're looking at there. So you can turn over to page 4, and you can see specifically when it's allowed, and then specifically down to your exceptions in the middle of the page. So on your exceptions, going from page 4 over to 5 and then over to 6, there's a total of 11 exceptions that are in place. We've got things such as newborn screening under Wyoming Statute 354801, emergency medical treatment, an order of court, anonymous research, those types of things that you might have signed up for. 11 on page 6, specifically dealing with services limited to storage. We don't want to incidentally capture these companies that might be storing data. We don't want to actually hit them with a crime. So going on to 3531103 in the middle of page 6, testing and how that information is specifically handled. Going over to page 7, 31104, that's if you screw up and mishandle this DNA, what kind of violations we're looking at. And specifically because these are going to be companies that are screwing up, you can see that on page 7, lines 17 and 18, that's for each violation. So that's $1,000 per time. So a lot of cases, when you screw up in this situation, or when a company sells your information, your DNA information, it's going to be a situation where it's a lot of information and you're not the only one. And then on the bottom of 7, it creates the aspect for you to bring civil case if needed. And then page 8, effective immediately. I'll stand for questions.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the good work on this. I mean, we're talking about DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, and that's what makes you you. It's your specific code. It's what makes your eye colors green or brown, or you know, the color of your hair, what your voice sounds like, how tall you're going to be, all of that. What troubles me about this is we have these exceptions in here, and you turn to page number 4, starting on line 13, at subparagraph B, it says, an individual's genetic information may be obtained, retained, disclosed, and used without informed consent for, and it gives these 11 things. And the thing that kind of bugs me a little bit is this number 10, it's on page 6, on line 1, anonymous research where the identity of the individual is not released. And if I guess I'm having a hard time figuring out why that's in there. If I sign up for research, there's an element of informed consent. Yes, you may use my stuff to do research, my genetic material. But we're saying here that under certain conditions of quote-unquote research, that a company or an institution or someone for research purposes may obtain our DNA without informed consent. And then afterward, they can use that information, and they can also disclose that information or retain that information. And I'm just trying to figure out exactly, maybe there's a good reason for it, but I don't know if I want my genetic material just floating around because it's used for research. So if we can answer that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. That's a great question, a question that I had, and I actually learned a lot. In fact, the good representative out of the northeast corner of the state, I'll bring you a court case when I get done, because I had the same, and I can't say the individual's name, but anyways, there was a very famous black woman that basically has super cells, and that woman's cells are now in every major laboratory in the world. In fact, probably 50% of this room has been inoculated with some of her cells. Because of the way her cells are, they're essentially what's called a supercell. So what does that have to do with number 10, anonymous research? Well, as it turns out, anytime you give blood, anytime you have surgery or anything like that at a hospital, that no longer belongs to you. If you have something cut off, that is no longer yours. That belongs to the hospital. So under this situation, if they take your blood, those types of things for research, if you allow them to take your blood for research, that belongs to the hospital at that point. So that's a situation. We didn't want to create Wyoming statute that actually goes against Supreme Court law where this has been tried, and that specifically handles that. And I'll stand for questions.
Representative Larson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wonder if the presenter could help me understand everything that gets cut off at the hospital, and could you share with me some examples of maybe what she was referring to?
Representative Lindholm. Any further questions?
Thank you.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fully support the concept of this, but is it, at least currently, is there a risk of identity theft via genetics in the same sense that there is identity theft through digital means? I mean, somebody obtaining your social security, your credit card numbers, stuff like that. And if there is, how can that be potentially used against somebody in some sort of a hacking of a genetic database, something to that effect?
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's exactly what this piece of legislation is trying to protect from, your DNA being used against you without your permission. And so that situation, I think, is a very real one where that information could be hacked. I think DNA has gone by leaps and bounds, even in the last just 10 years, as far as what it can be used for. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, by looking at your DNA, a lot of these companies can tell what type of cancers you're going to be prone to, and that's how that's being basically weaponized at this point and used against you as an individual. So this will put in place a civil action, and on top of that, an actual fine for those companies.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is, what's the due process for B on page 4 when there is no informed consent? What is the process for someone protesting the release of their information to law enforcement, for law enforcement purposes, for the sex offender registry, for paternity, for identity of, I guess if you're dead, you don't maybe care as much. You know, what's the mechanism for this? I mean, is it just, oh, someone's dead, so you got to give up all your database so we can identify this person? I guess I'm not sure how that actually takes place for this without consent component. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in that situation where you have a deceased individual, it's already, all of these aspects are already covered by statute. For example, under the sex offender registration 719-302, you can read exactly how that's set up and why we have that registered database. As far as the state DNA database, Wyoming 719-402, for felons that end up going into our penal system, and every one of the newborn screenings under Wyoming Statute 354801. So all of those aspects are there already in place. This is just naming them specifically what are exceptions in place.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to go back to Romanet 10, the anonymous research piece. So is this in here based upon some federal statute? And if it is, it just seems to me that that goes beyond where we should go.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you. Not federal statute. Supreme Court case, law of the land. It's been ruled on multiple times, and I'm going to walk right over there right now and give you that Supreme Court case. This is not one that we want to accidentally step over on.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I guess maybe I'm just trying to wrap my head around this a little bit more. So basically underneath this, if we'll just say my wife, for instance, needs to have genetic testing done for a personal trait of some sort, and we do genetic testing, and that information is then held. And we'll just say that later on down that road, there's the possibility that she's convicted of a crime. Is this, now that she's had her blood tested for a genetic trait, is this information now capable of being utilized by the police without any due process? Can they go out and go grab this and just use it and just search a system without any due process in place? I guess I'm starting to worry a little bit about that. And it, basically, underneath Section B here, it looks to be that way. So if you could clear that up, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to address that. I think we're getting a little sidetracked on what the bill actually does. The bill is actually protecting your genetic information. Genetic information is already being collected. This bill isn't facilitating that. It's already happening. Under Section B, just to address the good representative's questions, the only time that information is going to be released is inside those Romanets 1 through 11. Those are exceptions that already exist in law. For example, Romanet 2, law enforcement purposes otherwise authorized by law. So what we're saying is, we already collect genetic information in, let's say, a criminal case where we may have multiple suspects. We're saying that this piece of legislation that now prohibits releases in certain areas of genetic information will not infringe upon those law enforcement abilities to use that information. Same thing with, say, Romanet 5, determining paternity by court or administrative order. Well, right now, I can already, if I've got a paternity case pending, all I got to do is file a motion under state law and say, I'm not sure who the dad is. We have that in question. It's a very low standard. I ask for a genetic test, and the parties have to submit to the genetic test upon a court order. And that already occurs. I'm just giving you some examples. These exceptions under subsection B are areas of law where we can already utilize genetic information, and the bill is trying not to step on the toes of those areas that we already allow genetic information to be released. The catch-all, number 9, an order of a court of competent jurisdiction. That's probably going to cover 90% of your criminal cases where you may have questions and doubt. So, and then I think the good representative from the number one county has already addressed Romanet 10, anonymous research, and I think that court case hopefully is already circulating. So, again, folks, the purpose of the bill is to put, I don't want to use the word sideboards because we use it a lot, but that's really what it's doing. We're putting, we're putting around these sideboards and saying, here are the areas that you can only release genetic information, and it's more restrictive than the law is currently.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm just going to go to one that, since it has a nice statutory reference, this is Romanet 7, the newborn screening. When I go to that set of statute, it actually says, informed consent of the parents shall be obtained. And now, in this bill, we're saying without conformed consent. So it seems to me that we're actually creating a conflict. And so I'd like that somehow addressed in the discussion. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Newborn screening requirements under Wyoming Statute 35801. So because we're saying it's under 35-4-801 means you have to obtain consent from the parents. It's under this statute.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as the sponsor of that statute about 10 years ago, Wyoming is one of three states that actually do, in fact, allow religious or any type of parental objections. It's mandatory in every other state but three, and we still allow in Wyoming the provision to opt out of that.
Further questions? The question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Kirkbride's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 31 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Senate File 31 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an announcement and just a quick reminder that third reading amendments have to be in process by 5 p.m., so please keep that in mind as that time approaches. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 33, introduced by Judiciary. Computer extortion, an act relating to offenses against computer property. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 33, engrossed computer extortion, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Kirkbride?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 33 do pass. Our good colleague from the Gem City in House District 45 will present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please proceed, Minority Whip Pelkey.
Thank you. I guess they left the creation of a new felony to the defense attorney on the Judiciary Committee. But this is an interesting issue that obviously wouldn't have come to the attention of earlier lawmakers at least more than a decade ago. This is an act that, in essence, criminalizes the practice of ransomware. For those of you who are unfamiliar with it, and I'm sure you are by now, ransomware is malware, an app, some kind of surreptitious program that will that can essentially encode your data and then demand payment to an electronic bank account to receive the code that would then release your data. It's computer extortion, essentially. this bill establishes a felony punishable by up to 10 years and a fine of $10,000. It defines ransomware. It defines the mechanisms involved. There is an amendment that, or a change that allows peace officers, general assistants to state, county, or local authorities in their investigative duties. This is an increasingly common problem. I would suspect that the majority of these cases are originate from places outside of Wyoming and quite possibly outside of the United States. But the software, the malware that's used to create a ransomware situation is now increasingly available on the what they call the dark web, that portion of the web that most people don't generally access. That software is becoming increasingly available. This problem is particularly, the most egregious examples that I've heard are medical and legal offices, where files and data are some of the most valuable assets they have, and their responsibility to protect that data is breached by the ransomware, and sometimes folks are simply inclined to pay the ransom and carry on. There are security measures you can take, but if that crime is committed, and it's committed from here in Wyoming, this bill would make it a criminal offense, and it would afford the opportunity for those people to be sentenced up to 10 years and $10,000. And I stand open for questions.
Questions?
And failing that, I call for the question.
Question having been called for, all those in favor of Chairman Kirkbride's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 33 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 33 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 25, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Wildlife Location and Research Information Confidentiality, an act relating to game and fish. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 25, engrossed Wildlife Location and Research Information Confidentiality, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire. No. Representative Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. And for the explanation of the amendment and the bill, the good representative from House District 31 will explain. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is Senate File 25, Wildlife Location and Research Information Confidentiality. This was an interim bill that we worked on in TRW during the interim. And really what this there's a couple problems that we're trying to fix. Number one, the department that deals with fish and game often comes into information that is information that's done. It's research information that's done by different agencies or universities or whatnot, and that information hasn't been finalized and really is confidential information. Usually when those that research is finalized, it's put out there for the world to see. But until then, that information can be kept by the department, and really they have no mechanism right now not to disclose that information. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is the department often gets requests to find out where different herds are. We talk about antelope or deer or whatever, wherever it might be, elk. And the department is compliant in giving that information out to hunters, giving them information where they could generally locate these species. The problem, however, is sometimes you have people that request certain information for sensitive species such as grizzly bear or wild goat or the wolf. In those cases, the department has chosen not to disclose that information. And what happens in at least two of those cases is they've been taken to court. Now, the court has upheld that the department was within its right to withhold that information. Nonetheless, this costs the department and hence our government and taxpayers a lot of money to try to defend those things in court. So what we've done here is this bill started out as a game and fish bill, and you'll see in your committee of the whole amendment number one, we're actually cleaning up some language that was missed from the other side. In particular, you'll see on line number one, it says an act relating to game and fish. Well, it's no longer an act relating to game and fish. It's an act relating to the Open Records Act, because it started out as an act relating to game and fish, and then they went into a different area of law, namely the Open Records Act, and so or the public records. So that you can see that in committee amendment or committee of the whole amendment number one, and really line ones and two of the amendment there, that's what we're changing. So we're cleaning up some of that language. If you look at page number two, members, you'll see here that we amend two different portions of the Public Records Act. So on line number two, subsection B, this says the custodian may deny the right of inspection of the following records, unless otherwise provided by law, on the ground that disclosure to the applicant would be contrary to public interest. So this is a may section. And we include here the specific confidential details of bona fide research projects being conducted by the state, by a state institution or agency. So here we're saying if it's a state institution like our good university over the hill, or if it's another private research firm and they're conducting research, that our department does not have to disclose that information if it's not the right time to disclose that information, okay, for contractual purposes or what have you. The next part, members, on lines 11, is where we also get into some of the sensitive wildlife location information. So it says there on line 11 of page number 2, sensitive wildlife location data in the custody of the Game and Fish Department, which could be used to determine the specific location of an individual animal or group of animals. Again, that falls under the May provision that the custodian, in this case the department, may deny the right of inspection. What your amendment does, however, is it removes lines 16 through 22. Now, this is a different portion of that Public Records Act. And it says here on line 16, the custodian shall deny the right of inspection of the following records, unless others provided by law. So this is no longer a may. It's not discretionary. It's a shall. And what we see there inserted in the new language, trade secrets, privilege information, and confidential commercial, financial, geological, geospatial information related to wildlife or geophysical data furnished by or obtained from any person. The problem with this portion is that this doesn't just affect the department that deals with fish and game. This deals with the department that deals with agriculture. This deals with the department that deals with you name it. It's open, wide open to anybody. And they shall deny the right of geospatial information related to wildlife. There's no discretion there. So what we do in the amendment is we move that geospatial information related to wildlife, and we move it up top to the may deny the right of inspection. And you'll see that on your amendment, on line 15 of your amendment, what we do is, after animals, on page 2, line 14 of your amendment, we add this: including geospatial information related to wildlife, provided, however, a custodian shall allow the right of inspection of sensitive wildlife location data related to wildlife on an applicant's private land. What we did not want to happen is we didn't want a private landowner who was wanting some specific information and for the department to deny that request. If they're trying to manage their livestock or whatever it might be, we want them to have that information. And so if there's any questions, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
The question having been called on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 25. Whoa, we do have a question. Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I've spoken with the bringer of this Committee of the Whole Amendment, and I don't really have an issue with it other than I'm going to bring a second reading amendment. I want to, you know, the way this is currently written, so a guy that owns private property could request location because he wants to go hunt those game that are on his place. And that, I don't think that was the intent. The intent is, for example, if you had a grizzly bear in the middle of your private property and somebody had GPS data that knew it was there, it might be beneficial for the management of your herd. So I think there needs to be some, I support the bill and I support the amendment, but I think there needs to be some further clarification on, in my mind, on how a private property owner can request that information, you know, under what conditions should he be able to request that. So with that, I just, I am curious on one other question. This bill obviously changed, as the bringer said, completely from statutes that were game and fish to now into the Public Records Act, which I'm not sure that I understand the connotations of that. That seems like a huge shift from game and fish statutes to the Open Records Act. And I want a little bit more understanding. Maybe it's not, and it really does relate to the amendment because the amendment changes the whole bill again. So I really want a little more understanding of why the Senate shifted this and why the Good House Committee didn't revert it back and a little more of that discussion because it does seem a huge shift.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As for Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 and adding this information in there, this was a shift. It certainly was. And what we found during the interim in working this bill over is there really wasn't good language that we could fit into Title 23. The division that deals with fish and game, and this is different than what we worked on in the interim, and it just seemed to be a better fit in the Public Records Act.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on the Committee of the Whole Number 1 for this bill, it says on line 22, delete lines 16 through 22 on page 2. And when you read that, you're deleting the trade secrets, the privileged information, and the confidential, commercial, financial, geological, geospatial, related to the wildlife, or geophysical data. So, you're shaking your head no, but...
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, that information will still exist in statute. We're just deleting that language from the bill. We're not repealing that section. We're just deleting it from the amended bill. So that language is still going to exist in statute. The only thing that's different there is we're just not adding the geospatial information related to wildlife.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just for a little bit more clarification, we were advised by the folks in the back that if you look on page 2, line 21, talking about wildlife, that would ripple through all the statutes, and that was not the intent of the bill. So what we thought this would do, that this bill and this amendment would bring it more specific and more of a laser focus to address the problem, which is, we'll just go back really quickly. The issue here is that there is this sensitive information out there, like a grizzly bear den or a wolf den, those kinds of things, or research data that isn't really, it's proprietary. And so it shouldn't really be subject to the Public Records Act.
there needed to be a tool by which the department to for the protection of wildlife could deny access to that. And so that's what we were trying to accomplish with this bill. And so we'll stand for more questions if we need to. And if we need a second reading amendment to clean this up, we're amenable to that.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to repeat what we've done before is that we went from a game and fish bill to a public information act, and there were several groups that participated in to get your engrossed copy, including those who write newspapers and those who chase after fish and game. And they came up with a pretty good compromise with the engrossed version. The changes that are being proposed in the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 were discussed in the committee meeting with the other parties that were there, and they felt more comfortable with the engrossed version than what's being said to you. There is confusion in there because what you don't see in your engrossed version is this comes from two different sections. So one is a may and the other one is a denied. But with the people that crafted this compromise, along with the people down the hall, felt that they had it pretty well covered. So I would be cautious about this amendment.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're on the amendment. My question is, within the context of the amendment, lines 7 through 9, and I know that's not in the amendment, 7 through 9 are not addressed by the amendment. And my question is, could they also be removed based on the fact that they are far more expansive than just the new subsection that's being added, i.e. they would apply to all research projects, not just wildlife ones. So within the context of what you're trying to accomplish by refining with your amendment, committee the whole amendment, should also 7 through 9 be removed as well, and then we would just have the intent of this bill in the new Romanet 8, and that would refine it completely all the way down to the intended purpose, which is wildlife, and not drag in anything else, and actually name the division that is responsible for this instead of having this any state institution or agency. I just don't think that's appropriate now that we are trying to really confine it to the issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in answer to that, so the question was, is could we remove lines 7 through 9 on page number 2? In addition to what's being proposed by this amendment, and that is the specific confidential details of bona fide research projects being conducted by a state institution or agency. And I would say that no, that's not something that you would want to remove because subparagraph 8 on lines 11 talks about sensitive wildlife location data. Location data may not be what the research is about, and so the research data may include much more than the actual sensitive wildlife location data. And so I think that subparagraph 3, starting on page 7 of line 2, is needful.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment for the bill, I would just point out that we're looking at a tiny little portion of the Public Records Act. And the Public Records Act is probably one of the most complex parts of our statute. And the people who put this together and worked on it very carefully, they wanted to have some information where there shall be a denial, just an outright denial, and they wanted to have some of the information in a portion of the statute where the division would have an opportunity to look at the request and maybe make an answer, maybe yes, maybe no. I think that we would be making a mistake to start rewriting this little tiny pieces of this without looking at the entire body of the Public Records Act. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want the body to be clear. On page 2, line 16, this says the custodian shall deny. There's no discretion there, and it just doesn't pertain to wildlife with the department that deals with fish and game. This also could pertain to the Department of Ag, in which case, if you have information from any, and it says furnished by or obtained from any person. So let's say you have some information about your stock that's on your land, a head of cattle or something somewhere on your land. And it says, and you're trying to get some information by the department, it says the custodian shall deny. Again, this has nothing to do, this isn't where we were going at all when it came to what we were trying to do in our committee. We weren't trying to focus on livestock. We were trying to focus on sensitive wildlife, grizzly bears, wolves, these mountain goats. Those were the species that we were trying to target. We were trying to give the department a tool to at their discretion, not give that information. But, again, if you look at that subparagraph B, it says a shall deny. There's no discretion there. Thank you.
Any further questions? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So when you go and look at some of the other things that shall be denied, and if I go to Romanet 14, information concerning agricultural operations, farming, conservation practice, the land itself, etc., there's a whole bunch of stuff that is shall. A whole bunch of stuff that is shall, and I guess I'm not understanding why this shall is problematic. So I guess I need a little more about some of these others that are shall. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a response to changing research, to be quite honest. What's happening is that we know a lot more about animals. We know a lot where they're specifically at, and the department that does fish and game often shares that. They'll show you where the migration periods are. They'll show you basically where the herds winter and all that other kind of stuff. They're okay with that. But what happens is then they get specific requests for specific kinds of animals. So what happens is they get those requests, and what they do is they deny them. And it goes into Freedom of Information Act or the Information Act. So then what happens is then it goes to a court case. And they've done two of those in the last 4 years. And each of the two times that they've done, the department has prevailed. So what they have come and asked for is to have more of a clarification to where that they don't have to go to court. That is the impetus of the whole bill. Again, what happened with it is they put it in the statutes that govern them. And that was uncomfortable to the other side. So then what happened is they put it into the Freedom of Information Acts, into the 16s. And the people who were normally looking for those things, they came up with the crafted and gross bill that you have. Now what happens is we are working within the Freedom of Information Act that has all these other kinds of uses for different kind of situations. The people that made the negotiation said that this will work. Okay? What I'm afraid of with the amendment is that the changes that we make have implications on the rest of the bill. And that is why I urge you to have caution on this amendment.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm against this amendment. When we came out of committee, we had the bill written the way we wanted it, and this is the first I saw this, and it about guts the bill. One of the concerns was is that we provide the ranchers, landowners, with information if they had a potential trophy game animal problem. And that is not an issue. I would cheerfully give any rancher that information, and it should be available, especially if they were having livestock depredation. But what this amendment came out with and what we passed out of committee, I think it's completely different. I'd really caution you on this.
The House will come to order. Representative Larson, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was in on this interim committee discussion. I'm standing up in support of the amendment, and the main reason is this bill coming from the other side is completely new. We're in a new statute and everything. So for the amendment, against the bill.
Further questions? We remain on the committee of the whole amendment number one. Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Chairman. I was in this committee, and I'm confused about the amendment, and now I'm confused about the bill, so I don't have a recommendation for you. I'm going to probably vote no on both of them at this point. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a real simple amendment, folks. All we're doing is we're giving the department the discretion in subparagraph B on line 2 of page 2. But what we're saying here on line 16 of V is the custodian, and that could be the division that deals with fish and game. And currently, they do give out information. They do give out this information when it comes to other animals. But what this says there is it shall deny the right. So in all practical purposes, how does this play out? You're a hunter, and you've contacted this division, this department, for years about a mule deer herd, and they've continued to give you that information. The change on this bill, without the amendment, says the custodian shall deny the right. So you no longer can get that information. That's not what we're going for. We just want the department to have a tool to deny sensitive wildlife location data, in particular for those species that we talked about. So with that, I would call for the question.
Question? We are on the amendment. Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 25, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has failed. We're back on the bill. Question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Allen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
So all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 13. Having failed the standing division, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
No. Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
No. Bovey. No. Brown. No. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
No. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. No. Court. No. Crank. Aye. Dayton. No. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. No. Flitner. No. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. No. Grew. No. Gray. No. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. No. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. No. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. Aye. Madden. No. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Pieperinen. No. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Excused. Sweeney. No. Walters. Excused. Wilson. No. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Eklund? Eklund? Aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 4 aye, 54 no, 2 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, Senate File 25, having failed the roll call vote, will be indefinitely postponed.
Mr. Chairman.
Please, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion carries.
That's yours. I just set it there and
the reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
February 9, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 5, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 6, recommended do pass. Senate File 7, recommended do pass. Senate File 9, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 10, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 11, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 23, recommended do pass. Senate File 23, recommended do pass. Senate File 3, recommended do pass. Senate File 30, recommended do pass. Senate File 31, recommended do pass. Senate File 33, recommended do pass. Senate File 25, following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Signed, Representative Kenner, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kenner. Wields a mean gavel. We are now on that order of business of standing committee reports.
Senate File 115, introduced by Senator Christensen, Malicious Cruelty to Animals, an Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 115, engrossed Malicious Cruelty to Animals, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Senate File 133, introduced by Senator Hastert, Postmortem Despoiling Penalties, an Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 133, engrossed Postmortem Despoiling Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Senate File 18, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Special District Public Records, BOCES, an Act Relating to Special Districts. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 18, Special District Public Records, BOCES, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Senate File 102, introduced by Senator Moniz, Board of County Commissioners Designee, Zoning Certificates, an Act Relating to Boards of County Commissioners. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 102, engrossed Board of County Commissioners Designee, Zoning Certificates, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
February 9th, 2017. Messages from the Wyoming Senate. Message number 246, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 30, State Parks and Sites Fees, the House bill listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 19, noes 11. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 247. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 33, Non-Resident Motorboats Gasoline Tax Distribution, Ayes 30. Message number 248. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 42, Education, State Board of Education Membership, Ayes 30. Message number 249. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 43, Board of Insurance Examiners Repeal, Ayes 30. Message number 250, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 51, Borrowing Authority for Department of Transportation. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 251, third reading. The bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 59, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments, Ayes 30. Message number 252, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 92, Payment of Wages Upon Termination, Time Limits, ayes 30. Message number 253, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 78, salvage title updates. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Committee announcements. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number one, Judiciary, will meet upon adjournment in Jonah Room H-38 to consider the following two bills, Senate File 59, Government Ethics, Clerks of the District Courts, and Senate File 151, Engrossed, Ignition Interlock.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., February 10th, Jonah Room H-37. We'll hear Senate File 48, Farm Loan Program Amendments, Senate File 100, Engrossed, Limited Liability Companies, and if time allows, Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, Federal Land, Wind, Solar Energy Revenue, State Share.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, Education Number 4, will meet February 10th. Nothing like moving things up here. Upon recess at noon, and we're going to do Senate File 34, Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act, and Senate File 35, which is virtual education, both continued from Wednesday.
You know, Chairman, that might be prophetic, that meeting in August. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment in H-37, I believe, Senate File 53, Engrossed, Veterans Hiring Preference, Senate File 54, Engrossed, Military Spouse Hiring Preference, and Senate File 19, Engrossed, Snowplow Lights.
Any other committee announcements? Privileges of the floor. Representative Lox.
Mr. Speaker. Okay, to the body, in your basket. Now, I've been asked a lot of questions today about where all these nurses are because everybody's excited. There's 300 nurses in town, and there's some good ones there. And so they're all, I thought they were coming into this place today to visit us, but I was told in a text a while ago that we're all going over there to visit them. So I'll let you all know, be a wonderful reception at the Little America. It's starting at 6:30. So get over there or you'll get your bud taken maybe. Thank you.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder, your committee number 6, travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider Senate File 90, Engrossed, Allocation of Complementary Hunting Licenses, and Senate File 86, Engrossed Game and Fish Permits. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Members, just real quick privilege, Amy and Annie Smith, you received the CD. I put a little yellow sticky tab, 1964 legislature, must have been the 37th or 38th, right underneath their dad. So you can see their dad right over there. So, okay, with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 9:30. 9:30, that's correct. Tomorrow, Friday, February 9th, 2017.
And one more thank you to our main man, Mr. Mead Stubson. Have a safe trip back home. It's been a pleasure having you. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The House is adjourned until Friday, February 10th at 9:30 a.m.